Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. Listening audience, I want to thank my grandson, Isaiah, as he comes on this platform and always introduces this show. And I want to thank him so much for allowing us to use his voice to introduce this show. Well, tonight's show is a very, very heavy topic. And tonight's show is the biggest tax breaks in America belong to home-based business owners. And as we always do, we open up the show with a reading from Daily Motivations of African-American Success of Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. Reading for the day. Waffles. The longer I live, successful person and failure between the strong and the weak is a decision. Willie E. Gary, lawyer who gave $10 million to Shaw University. Making decisions can be tough. Making the right decision can be tougher. Take notice of those about you and you will observe the obvious. Successful men and women reach decisions quickly and change them rarely. Unsuccessful men and women reach decisions slowly and change them often. Entrepreneur and business advocate Percy Sutton told a group of entrepreneurs, hopefuls, whenever you see a successful business, someone is making tough decisions. If you're in the habit of making up your mind today and changing it tomorrow, you are doomed to failure. If you are not sure which way to move, it's better to shut your eyes and move in the dark than to remain still and make no move at all. The world will forgive you if you make mistakes, but it will never forgive you if you waffle back and forth. You are using time. Move with quick decision, and time will favor you. Stand still and time will wipe you out. You cannot always make the right move, but if you make enough moves, you will learn about the special inner power that can keep you working for and with success. There's only one thing worse than a bad decision, General Colin Powell emphasized to a group of combat troops, and that's making no decision. Straddling the fence has driven many individuals to failure. The ability to arrive at complex decisions is a hallmark of a successful person. Today, I will form the habit of making decisions. And that's, you know, very, very important. And, you know, one of the reasons I'm doing this show tonight is a lot of people ask the question, especially since the pandemic, and, you know, were forced to either work from home from their job or seek other means to do work. And so, you know, the big question comes in mind, what is the benefit of working from home? What is the benefit of starting a home business, a small-based business? And there are several benefits. I'm going to go over some of those tonight. First thing you need to understand is smaller home-based business owners have more tax advantages than any other taxpayer in America. Small business are often referred to as the backbone of the American economy because of its impact on jobs, growth, and stabilizing effect on the economy. Congress has provided a windfall of tax-saving deductions to encourage the startup and continued growth of small businesses. This show will introduce you to some of the tax advantages at the federal level, deduction rules, but there are so many variations among the 50 states that we will not attempt to cover state law in this podcast tonight. And what do you need to do to qualify for these breaks? Qualify for these breaks is not automatic, but there are only three very easy steps required. Number one, actively work your business on a regular and consistent basis, a minimum of 4 to 5 hours a week. It's about 45 minutes a day. And two, maintain records that accurately document your business income, business expenses. You need to document. You're going to hear me talk about that more and more as we go through this podcast tonight. Document your business income and your business expenses. Clearly establish that the intent of your business is to produce a profit. The key word is intent. To be eligible to deduct a loss, you must run an operation in a business-like manner and have reasonable expectation of making a profit. If your activity generates profit 3 out of every 5 years, the law presumes that you're in business to make a profit. And if you do not make a profit in 3 out of 5 years, get with me and I can be able to show you how you can get around that. That's kind of intense. It would require too much to try to cover that in this short podcast tonight. But if you go to www.thetaxhelper.weebly.com, you can be able to find information, or basically you'll have information on how to be able to contact me. And again, go to my website or give me a call at 252-458-3712. That's 252-458-3712 or www.thetaxhelper.weebly.com. It's my contact information, and you can be able to ascertain how to be able to reach out and touch base with me on any of the things that I cover tonight or that any things I don't cover or if you have questions. And if you're listening, hold on here. You can call 515-602-9701 at any point in time during this podcast tonight. That's 515-602-9701. And I will pipe you in and get you a question and see if we can be able to come up with a reasonable answer or dialogue around some of those issues. Okay. What does small business tax deduction mean? The term applies to many tax deductions approved for any small business, which includes one person, part-time, sole proprietor business. That describes the vast majority of all small businesses, especially startups. There are numerous special tax advantages available to small and home-based business owners. We will cover the 6 biggest ones in this program tonight. What is a home-based business? The term applies to a small business that is based in the business owner's own home. This means your home business will also become the address of your principal business location, which in turn will qualify you for even more tax deductions. Every small business should attempt to qualify as a home-based business in order to maximize the tax deductions. What does the principal business location mean? You can establish that your home is your principal business location by meeting any one of the following requirements. Business use of your home, which we just mentioned, is a big one, often worth several thousand dollars in tax savings. If your home is the place where you regularly and frequently meet with customers, clients, patients, and prospects, then you can use that as your primary place of business. Or the location where the primary value of your business is delivered, one-on-one consulting, for example. Or where the primary administrative functions of your business are performed. This is the default setting because almost any small business can qualify using option number 3. Of course, that begs the question, what are the primary administrative functions? The term includes such functions as appointment scheduling, record, recording results of business meetings, documenting business tax deductions, processing payroll, reconciling financial records, generating financial reports such as profit and loss statements, depositing business income, conducting planning related activities, processing new orders, responding to customer service requests. In other words, paperwork. If the business owner performs the majority of the business administrative functions at his or her residence, the principal location would be the same as the address, the residence itself. Even if your home does not qualify as your principal business location, you still need to qualify in order to legally claim tax deductions for business use of home. To claim this deduction, there must be one or more area of the home that you use regularly and exclusively for the business purpose. Note, exclusive use areas means that areas may never be used for anything other than what your business is. Or you lose that deduction. The exclusive use area could be a spare room, a designated portion of a room, even multiple areas of the home, as long as each area is used only for business. Then you must, one time only, compute the business use percentage of your home. What percentage of the total square footage of your home is used exclusively for business? Benefits of this deduction are huge. If you qualify for business use of your home deduction, you will be able to deduct a portion of your rent, your utilities, your repairs, your maintenance, security systems, and most other overhead expenses. Thus, you can convert some of your presently non-deductible personal expenses into 100% fully tax-deductible business expenses. And this is big, being able to deduct personal expenses into business expenses. And this is one of the advantages of having a home-based business. A home-based business can be, you know, there's several different things a person can do, from tutoring children, which a lot of people are doing right now in terms of virtual learning. They have an area set up exclusively for podcasting or streaming or doing the Zoom calls. And then that means your internet is tax deductible. You're putting your content together becomes tax deductible because that's administrative time you put into researching information so that you can be able to speak intelligently to your listening audience. Your utility costs, because you need utilities to be able to run your computer or your phone, however you're doing your Zoom calls. So, you know, this is a very, 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 very important thing to be able to understand here. In order to be able to write off a portion of your rent, utilities, et cetera, you will need to keep track of how much your actual expenses are for each expense category. That's not difficult, but if you hate record keeping, you have the safe harbor option of claiming $5 per square foot for exclusive use area, capped off at $1,500 a year, which means they'll allow you to take a portion of your house if you don't want to do the actual expense, and you can take a portion of your house, 300 square feet, up to 300 square feet, and $5 per square foot. You can use that as what they call the safe harbor rule to allow you to come up with a $1,500 deduction for the business use of your home. Remember, the safe harbor option will usually give you a smaller deduction, but you will not be required to track any of the actual expenses. What are the biggest small-based business deductions? There are literally thousands of deductions for small business owners. but the top seven alone can provide the vast majority of your new deductions. What are those top seven? Top seven. Business use of your home. We've already mentioned that. It's one of the big, worth several thousands of dollars in tax savings. We went over, you know, how you can deduct your, turning your personal expenses of your house into business expenses. That becomes huge. Business use of personal vehicles, whether owned or leased. This can be worth $3,000 to $5,000 in business deductions if you use your vehicle for 5,000 to 10,000 business miles in a year. You will be required to maintain vehicle use log for each business use of your vehicle, but that chore can be done in less than 10 seconds. That basically documents where you had to go, for what reason. Who did you see and why? So, leaving your house, you're going on a, say, a business trip meeting. You leave your house, you get in, you write down what the speedometer is. Leave your house, you go to, say, your P.O. box. From there, you go to meet client John Doe. You stop to get some food for lunch that you're going to take to your meeting with John Doe. From there, you go to Mr. John Doe's house. From there, you leave his house, and you're coming back to your home. So, now you write down what's on the speedometer, the mileage. So you got the beginning trip, and then you got the mileage for the end of the trip. And then you do that each and every day. And you have a business mileage log. And again, if you need to see what this looks like, you can email me at babajahi17@gmail.com. You say, Baba Jahi, you know, please send me your business mileage log. And what that'll do, that'll give you a way to document your mileage so that you can accurately keep mileage record and mileage log. This is very, very important. Or you can get tool that I use, that we use in the business that I'm in, you can get the tax spot. And every time you get in your vehicle, boom, you cut your tax spot on. It will track the mileage that you get in on your trip and the end of your trip. And at the end of the year, it will give you, it's called an audit safe tax report, which can be turned in with your taxes to the IRS to document your mileage. And again, if you want to know more about TaxBot, go to TaxBot.com, TaxBot.com, and you can get to see how the TaxBot works. Okay, next is business travel. Is another deduction. Once you learn the rules, which I can teach you, you can even spend some of the days of your business trip on solely personal activities, such as sightseeing, visiting family and friends, or just relaxing by the hotel pool. To claim this tax advantage, you need to plan your trip correctly. And you can take it, again, reach out to me at 252-458-3712. I can tell you how to turn your business trip into a business trip and also a personal travel trip. Number four, hire your own minor children to work part-time for you. Home-based business. The wages you pay them is tax deductible for your business, and the income they receive is tax free to them. You can pay up to $12,000 per child per year, and you control how their income is spent. Even a 7-year-old can qualify. And I call this the tax recycling rule. You're going to spend money on clothes for them. Going to spend money if they go to summer camp or if they, you know, any kind of extracurricular activities, things that you have them involved in, there's things that you're going to spend money for. So you create an account for them. When you create that account, you write them a check. And add those checks up and you'll see how much you paid them for the year. I said, again, it can be up to $12,000. You said, pay them for to do what? You can pay them to do stuff as check your email, cut the grass, which is beautifying the home, which is the home, which remember, the home now is your office, is your place of business. Things that, that need to be done, such as in our business, we have what's called travel parties. So you can pay your child to be able to set up for the travel party. You pay them for helping put helping with the food preparation for the travel party. And these expenses add up. And so you pay them, you write them a check. It's deposited in their account. Now when it's time to buy the things that you normally would have to buy for them, you're able to take that money out of that account, pay for those items, and it enables them to still get what they get, but now you've turned their school clothes into a tax deduction, which is powerful. Okay. Here's another one. You can deduct all your health care expenses for you and all of your family members as tax deductible business expenses if you, the business owner, establish a health reimbursement arrangement. That's a HRA. Most taxpayers can deduct almost none of their health related expenses. A taxpayer who is a sole proprietor write off health insurance premiums on Form 1040, Schedule 1, Line 29, but only the insurance premiums. All other health-related expenses cannot be deducted. But you as a sole proprietor can qualify to write off 100% of all of the health-related expenses for everyone in your family. You can deduct not only the health insurance premiums, but also the annual deductibles, copay, expenses not covered by your health insurance, and even long-term care insurance. And if you want a holistic type of health regimen, then there's things that you can, herbs and spices and teas and stuff that you buy to take care of your health, you can also deduct these expenses for them because it's all part of your health reimbursement arrangement program. And so you want to make sure that you understand what, how this works. Again, call me at 252-458-3712. This ID, better understanding of the health reimbursement arrangement program. And I will help you with that. Get this. Even expenses such as elective procedures, natural naturopathic remedies to wellness and care, including in many cases, even nutritional supplements and other natural remedies taken to prevent, cure, and treat or mitigate disease or illness can also be covered. It simply requires setting up a health reimbursement arrangement, HRA, which the IRS calls Section 105 plan, which is explained, I can explain to you in detail. And you, the sole proprietor, these deductions extend to everyone who's a dependent for tax purposes. Your entire family can be covered. This deduction alone, on average, can add up to an extra $4,000 to $5,000 or more to your tax savings, tax refunds per year. So you want to make sure that you understand how to write off your health coverage. Next is business meals are still deductible at 50% cost, even after the 2018 Tax Cut Act eliminated deductions for entertainment. Meals with clients, prospects, and consultants are deductible if the primary purpose was discussing business. And here's a big one. 20% tax deduction for small business profits. Most businesses are not C corporations. May qualify for a 20% reduction in taxes paid on business profits. This can be huge if your company is highly profitable. This was one of the things that was added to the 2018 tax code. Those are the seven biggest small-based business deductions which most small business and home business owners can easily qualify for. How much can these deductions save you in taxes? The above deductions alone can usually reduce your taxes, which is the same as increase your tax refund by some $3,500 to $5,000 in your first year, usually more than that in subsequent years. That's some $300 to $400 or more per month extra cash flow, which is usually more than enough to pay all the costs of operating a new business. So, you know, that's very, very important. And next, yes, startup costs are deductible. In most cases, yes, the term startup costs refers to expenses you incur while you are preparing to go into business. It includes the same kind of expenses that will be called operating costs once your business becomes active. Example of startup costs would be purchase of samples, demo products, marketing materials, business furniture, furnishing, startup kits, business cards, website creation, shipping supplies, and etc. You may also deduct the organizational costs such as business license, reseller permit, or money you spend forming an LLC, any type of license that you obtain. There are caps on each of these two types of startup costs, and those caps are changed from time to time, so you will want to get the specific limits for the year you are forming your business. In the meantime, you can use $5,000 as the approximate cap on each of the two categories. Startup costs are claimed in the year in which the business opens its doors, which will necessarily be the same as the year which the costs were actually incurred. Even if you incur costs start up a business, if that business is never activated, you get no deductions. So you got to activate the business to make sure you get the deductions. What business operating costs can I deduct? Deductible business expenses are referred to by tax professionals and the IRS. Is expenses that are ordinary and necessary. Ordinary and necessary for maintaining business success and growing your business. That begs the question, what does ordinary and necessary actually mean? tax codes have said you can substitute the words common and helpful. So if expense would be considered common in your type of business or industry, if that same expense would be helpful to your business success, it probably meets the definition. By the way, item or service purchase may be indirectly related to business success. Examples would include office furniture, business vehicles, office supplies, etc., not just related to materials. A word about record keeping. The IRS requires business owners and taxpayers to maintain records to properly document any and every tax deduction that is claimed. Any deduction not properly documented may automatically be disallowed during an audit. And what is an audit? An audit is you having an alibi why such and such is a deduction. Just think about it, if there's a crime scene. See, the IRS, they assume, when they audit you, they assume that you're guilty as opposed to assuming you're innocent and they have to prove you're guilty. They automatically assume that you are guilty. And they ask you to maintain and prove your innocence. And that's why I say you need to have an alibi. The same with, you know, you charged with a crime. They say, where were you on the night of such and such when this happened? If you don't give a strong enough alibi, then you can become a suspect. So you want to make sure you understand that. Not only can your claim be disallowed, you will also be assessed interest and penalties. And this is where they get you. What does that mean to you? If you fail to properly document a business expense, if you fail to properly document a business expense but claim a deduction for it, despite of lack of records, you do so at your own risk. If you are not audited, you will probably get by with it. But if you are audited, you will pay for it dearly. I'm about to share with you a very easy system to prevent you from being audited. What does proper documentation mean? I mean exactly, two-part answer. The specific data required for proper documentation depends on the type of expense you are deducting. Business meals or home office use, vehicle use for business expense. But the specific data the IRS wants to see is clearly defined and easily complied with. For example, when using your personal vehicle for business purpose to get a cent per mile deduction, you must record date, destination, business purpose, and number of miles traveled. That record is required for each separate business use. Another item, another important term you will hear the IRS is IRS compliant. When you have proper documentation, you are said to have IRS compliant records. Easiest way to keep IRS compliant records. There are several record keeping systems on the market for maintaining documentation for business tax deductions. Now, of course, they all claim to be the best. Okay. So these are some of the things that you could use to understand how, what I call a 12, what I have personally tested, most of them, and evaluate each one based on 12 criteria. One, learning curve time required for beginning to use it. The tool is really no good if you do not understand the learning curve time before you're able to begin to use it. Average time required on a daily basis to input data. And this is important. You know, you want to make sure you have something that's short, sweet, and simple. And again, I recommend you get the TaxBot. It will do most of the work for you. Likelihood records would provide strong audit defense. TaxBot is definitely going to provide you with strong audit defense. Ability to generate a variety of useful reports. And the TaxBot does generate a variety of useful reports. Professional look of reports generated. It gives you a very professional look of the reports that are generated, and generated is an audit, the audit fail staff, audit fail safe report. Excuse me. The ease of generating various reports. TaxBot does all of that. Customer service, promptness, courtesy, and friendliness. If you have any problems with your TaxBot, they have customer service that is great and really helps you with being able to make sure that you get your questions answered. Likelihood that an issue will be resolved on first call. Yes, with the TaxBot, your issue will be resolved on first call. In most cases, sometimes you do have to do a second call. Answers to frequently asked questions provided with every deduction type. And this is a very, very important one because, you know, what good is it to have a deduction? You're not sure of the deduction type and how to be able to get your question answered. Do you use a deduction properly? Links to negotiate discounts on learn more resources. So you want to make sure you know how to be able, the tool that you use to negotiate the proper amount of discounts for you and help you with learning about more resources. Ongoing updates and early alerts, how tax savings tips. You want updates, you want early alerts. Using the tax body usually will alert you if you put something in wrong or you put something in right and you need to follow up or go to gather more information. Accuracy of content guaranteed by well-known seasoned small business tax expert. And that's one of the things that you really want to make sure that can help you with the things that you need to do. And here's some other tools. Time to learn how to use the system. It should take you less than 5 minutes to be able to use any kind of system that you want to be able to use. Time required for daily data input. Well under 5 minutes. You don't want something that takes you a half an hour to an hour to do. Records will stand up in an audit. This is very, very important. TaxBot stand up in an audit 100% of the time. Generate a variety of useful reports. This is very, very important. It does an excellent job of doing that. Professional look of reports. Top notch. Easy for generating reports, fast and easy. Consumer service, prompt, courteous, and friendly. Issue will be resolved on first call, nearly always. Frequently asked questions provided for each deduction, yes. Treat negotiated savings on learn more resources, yes. Free updates. Early alerts and tax tips, excellent and free. Content accuracy and guarantee by well-known seasoned small business tax expert, yes. It usually only takes 3 to 4 minutes a day to enter data from that day's business expenses and income. How does it work? Whenever you open an expense category, you are taken to a record keeping page that has several clearly labeled fields for you to fill in. Each field is matched to a question you must answer to have IRS compliant records. Therefore, if you fill in all of the blank fields shown for any tax deduction category, you automatically have IRS compliant records guaranteed. This is important. Make sure you're doing what you need to do to have IRS compliant records. Okay. Do I need to set up an LLC or some other type of business entity? Not necessarily. Most new businesses are begun by individual working part-time in a home-based business. They typically do not set up any formal business entity, such as a limited liability corporation, partnership, or corporation. These people are called sole proprietors. They report business income and expenses on Form Schedule C, profit or loss from business for sole proprietorship, which is filed with his or her Form 1040. Downside of not forming an official business entity is that you will have unlimited legal liability. That means if you are sued personally, your business income and assets will also be at risk. Likewise, if your business is sued, your personal income assets will also be at risk. You may wish to look at examples of what limited liability corporation can do for you by separating your legally protecting you as far as your business entities. So you want to check that out. Or if you have a question around it, you can give me a call at 252-458-3712 and tell me what you're doing. And I can let you know whether you need to look at that being an LLC or some type of limited liability corporation, or how you can go about protecting your assets so that if your business gets sued, they can't come and take you home. Okay, how do I get started? Setting up my business right from the start. It takes less time to establish a business correctly from the beginning than to do it wrong later and have to fix it. So let's save you some time and effort by doing it right. Everything on business startup checklist can be accomplished in just 6 to 8 hours or less. In most cases, do not need to be done all at one time. Recommendation: commit to a specific completion date, maybe 10 days from now. By spending less than an hour a day, only 10 days or less, you will be able to mark your business setup checklist as done. Step-by-step checklist for your small business. First, register the name for your business. This is important. You're going to want a name for your business to distinguish it from you personally. Such a name is commonly called DBA, doing business as, or a fictitious name. The name should be both appropriate and available. Appropriate is tempting to use a name that labels pretty carefully the type of business you are in, such as Adams Landscape, or Jewels Custom Jewelry, or your Maid House Clean Service. But if you later decide to expand the scope of your business, you may outgrow the name of your business. But what if Mr. Adams decides to add lawn care to his landscaping business? What if Julie decides to sell half of her interest in her company to a new business partner? What if your maids expands to include interior design consultant? The point is, you will want a business that fits today, but that can also accommodate future growth. On the other hand, you will not want your business name to be so generic that it doesn't say anything about your business you're in. Doesn't lend itself to branding names such as Hossein Enterprise or John Hossein and Associates are generally not good business names in most cases. This is a very personal decision, so you might want to ponder it overnight or longer. Note, make sure your business name is also available as an internet domain for your website, such as if you want to have www.adamslandscapingandlawncare.com. You can check availability of a domain name for free at www.godaddy.com. If your domain name register offers you matching email addresses, take it. You will then be able to create email addresses such as joe@adamslandingandlawncare.com or info@adamslandscapingandlawncare.com or request quote@adamslandscapingandlawncare.com. Availability. The reason to register your business is so that no one else performing similar services in your area can use the same name. You would normally file your request at the county records or the county clerk's office. You may need to file your request in person. The clerk will first cross-check your preferred business name for names already registered in their county database and may also check with the Secretary of State to see if anyone else has registered that name for a similar entity elsewhere in your state. A modest fee will be charged for this process. If the name you requested is available, there will be additional important but easy steps required to finalize it. Those steps will be provided to you in writing. While you're at the county recorder's office, ask the person helping you whether or not you will be required to get a seller's permit or business license, or you'll be required to register with the state's sales tax collection department. People in California, you need to make sure you know how to form and register a business entity, how to apply for a business license, how to apply for a seller's permit, how to look up tax rates. Other internet search, you may want to do the same for the Secretary of State for your state in which your business is, where you'll be located at. Most state governments follow the same format. So for Georgia, you will go to example, www.sos.ga.gov. Two additional very important things to check out. Are there any local zoning requirements you may need? Are there any home owners association, HOA, restrictions with which you may need to comply? For example, there may be restrictions on the quantity and or frequency of on-street parking and home meetings you may plan to hold. That's a lot of possible restrictions or requirements to look into, but it's better to become aware of them up front than become unaware of unknown restrictions after you've already violated them. These important steps that you need to take. Okay, after you've established the name, you've been to the county clerk's office, you need to obtain an employer identification number, an EIN. As soon as your business is approved and registered, you should go online to www.irs.gov and fill out form SS4 and submit it to request a free business EIN, employer identification number. It can be done online for free, and your ENI number will be assigned to you immediately. do this whether or not you plan to become an employer or hire employees. Here's why. As an individual, your taxpayer ID number is your Social Security number. Likewise, your ID number of a business is his EIN number, your employer identification number. The IRS computers will link the SSN with your EIN. So when you file your form 1040s each year using your SSN, attach a Schedule C using your EIN, the IRS will know that both refer to you. This may seem redundant or unnecessary if you're not planning to have employees, but if nothing else, you will have made your business look like a business. There's no cost and no reason not to do so. So just do it, okay? Next you want to do is open a business use only checking account. You can minimize any possible issues with the IRS in the future by separating your personal finances from your business finances right up front. If you try to do both with one single account, that's what the IRS calls commingling funds. And trust me, that will cause you major headaches in the event of a business audit or personal audit. You'll probably want to do your business banking at the same bank you have a personal account and a business account. Open a new account in the business name, so gather your fictitious name, approval papers, and IRS papers and assigning ENI and take them with you to your bank. It has to open a business checking account in your business name. While operating your new business account, ask your banker for a debit card your business account, preferably with your business name on it, and order your first supply of business checks. You may also wish to ask about getting a business credit card. Initial funding for your business account. On day one, you hang out your open for business sign. You won't have any business income to deposit into your business checking account, right? Here's how many entrepreneurs handle the need for initial funding. First, to get started, transfer as much money as you wish to and able to from your personal account to your business account. Then in both personal and business check registers, record transaction as loan personal funds for business. Why? As for your business account, let's call it B. It will be documenting the fact that the deposit is a loan, not earned income, which means taxable income. Later, when your B account reimburses your personal account, B, your check register will label transaction payment of loan from personal funds. In your P account, check register will record the transaction as a repayment of personal funds loaned to the business. End result, no tax consequences, and never any audit issues. However, you may need more startup funds than you personally can provide. That is not uncommon. You may borrow from friends or family, for example. Loans may be with interest or interest-free. If they write you a check, so we recommend have them make it payable to insert your business name and or your personal name. If you do this, be sure to type out some kind of loan agreement stating who loaned the money, when it was loaned, to whom the loan was, who the money was loaned, whose business name, how much was loaned, loan terms, interest rate, and repayment date. Keep this loan agreement in your business records when you deposit this borrowed money. Deposit it to your business checking account. Record it to your business checking registry as a loan to business C from said person's name. Startup companies may need to get a business loan from a lender such as the SBA, Small Business Administration. approval of a bank or private investor. Be aware, even though the loan check may be made payable to your business name, which is recommended, they will also likely require you to personally guarantee the loan. All these are various ways to get a startup capital for your business. Establish a business use only credit cards. This again is for the purpose of not commingling personal funds with business funds. You may have gotten one credit card from your business bank. If the credit limit on that card, on that charge card, is not sufficient to cover the adequate needs of your business, you or may want at least one more card. This is important to understand, again, the importance of having things separated so you're not commingling funds. We've covered the getting your business set up, getting the EIN number, the record keeping, and most of all, any questions about any of this information I covered tonight, please give me a call at 252-458-3712. I want to thank you for tuning in. And that's going to wrap up tonight's show. God bless you. Be safe. Stay coronavirus free. And make sure that don't procrastinate. Procrastination is the assassination of your destination. Don't procrastinate. The new year started. And if you got some business ventures, ideas, or things that you want to do, go ahead, get them off the ground in this first quarter. So the second quarter, you can be implementing them. The first quarter ends March 31st. So you want to get through this first quarter with some ideas and some goals and things that you want to be able to accomplish and do. And I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, Baba Jahi. And, you know, hey, we are doing taxes, helping people with their taxes, whether it's personal taxes or home-based business taxes. Give me a call, 252-458-3712. 252-458-3712. And I'm going to say good night.